For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Today's subject is Christian professionalism. And there are three questions I would like to ask you today. The first question: how can you be professional when surrounded by so much unfairness? Number two: how can you treat another person with respect and Christian love when the other person is so obnoxious? And question three: how can someone be professional to you when you're so obnoxious? You know, unfairness can be a very difficult thing to handle sometimes, especially when it happens to you, and if you're not prepared to handle it. You might be fired from your job for no good reason. You might be retrenched or passed over for that promotion that you were looking forward to. You might be blamed for something that you didn't do. Or you might just find yourself in a situation that you never expected to be in, and you're not prepared to handle it. The situation becomes a problem, and the problem becomes more than you could ever bear. Everything seems to be going against you. The unfairness becomes a hopeless and helpless situation. All alone, locked away in your soul of confusion and depression. And in desperation, you might wonder, why am I here? Why do these things happen to me? You might say, I'm trying, I'm praying to God to help me, but it's like he never hears me. Where is he when I need him, you might say. And sometimes you might feel like you're drowning in your own human problems. And you say, you know, it just doesn't seem fair. What can I do? And these problems of unfairness come in many different ways, many different forms. And if we're not careful, they can take control of us. We become victims of fear and failure. We become losers instead of winners. Many of us have been there. It has happened to me, and I'll bet it happens to you too. To give you an example, when we arrived in South Africa in January of 1992 from the state of Texas in America. Many of you might know Texas, thinking of cowboys and horses and Dallas and rodeo shows. Well, you know, Texas is certainly different to what we found in central Johannesburg, where we lived and worked for the first 8 years. You know what we found in Joburg? We found taxis. A lot of taxis, and long queues of people waiting to get on those taxis. People waiting patiently, moving forward one step at a time. There was no pushing, no jumping the queues. All people were well-dressed, and they were respectful and waiting their turn. We found the streets packed with people, and people, surprisingly enough, carrying plastic bags. Plastic bags, yes, everywhere. They were hanging from the fences, blowing in the wind. They were even woven into hats and rugs, even made into small toys. Imagine that, taking plastic bags and making them into products to sell other people. Well, you know, by 8 p.m., the streets were finally starting to clear. Taxis were diminishing and the long queues of people were disappearing as the people were returning to their homes that they left at 4 o'clock in the morning. And by this time, the street children were starting to find their way into the CBD in Joburg. In Joburg, they were called the Twilight Children. These were the small children and teens making their beds on the sidewalks with sheets of cardboard and leftover plastic bags, lighting fires to keep them warm through the night, just to make it through another night. And not far from where they were sleeping were the hotels. And we were in the hotel business. We were part of a team operating luxury hotels in Joburg. And our task and the task of hundreds of employees working in the hotel was to make an inside environment for tourists and local visitors that was different to the environment on the outside. It was more than a challenge. It was the reality of survival in the face of these phenomenal changes that were taking place. In truth, these changes were not only new for us, but they were also new for South Africans. We were on the inside looking out, and many of those children were on the outside looking in. In the early months, in the first couple of years of our arrival, it was a real test and a real eye-opener for us. And the need for all of us to understand God's purpose and His plan in what was happening. On the one hand, there was the luxury, the peace, and the abundance of what was happening inside. And on the other hand, there were the people, the attitudes, the taxis, the queues, and the street children on the outside. Where was the balance? How to apply the Christian values that I understood in these kinds of situations? How to keep an attitude of professionalism when there were so many other things that needed to be fixed on the outside? As we came to understand the people, the staff and the management, the workers and their families, we could see that many were handling the situation better and were far more relaxed than we were. There existed an attitude of humility, an attitude of humbleness, and an attitude of respect amongst the people that for us was not even as visible or apparent in America. But here in South Africa, these attitudes were expressed in their conduct and their manners and conversation with each other. And we would ask ourselves, where did these attitudes come from? How did they develop? How could they exist in an environment that appeared so different from the outside to the inside? And as we came to understand the people even better, and we developed lasting friendships, and we began to see in many a love of God and an application of Christian values and Christian principles in their daily lives, we could see the reality of what Jesus Christ told crowds of people who were following him, even 2,000 years ago. And even many of them were confused and worried about what was happening on the outside, while many of them lived on the inside through their faith in Christ. Even then, there was a great unfairness and persecution of those who chose to follow Christ. And this is what Christ told his followers. He said, "In me you will have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart," he said. "I have overcome the world." And how did he overcome the world of unfairness and a world that persecuted him, a world that rejected him and tortured him and killed him? Well, he overcame the world by never allowing its unfairness and its injustices to defeat him. Through all of the pain and suffering of rejection, he never failed. He never sinned, not once. Even though he became a man like you and me, like Adam, he could have chosen to sin, but he didn't. He was the sacrificial lamb, the lamb without spot or blemish, the perfect Lamb of God who, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he went to the cross and was sacrificed for the sins of all of mankind, for you, for me, and for every person on the face of the earth. Even 800 years before the person of Christ was born into the world, the cross was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. He said, "We are all like sheep who have wandered off, each of us going his own way, but God the Father has laid on God the Son the iniquity of us all, for he bore the sins of many." You can overcome the unfairness and the injustices of the world just as Christ overcame the world. Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And to those who believe in me," he said, "I give to them eternal life. They will never perish, and nobody, no person will ever be able to take them out of my hand." These are the promises that we have from God, from Jesus Christ himself. And before he was crucified on the cross, he himself prayed to the Father. He prayed, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things that while I am still in the world, so that those who believe in me may have the full measure of my joy in them." Christ said, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you, Father, protect them from the evil one." Jesus Christ prayed for you and for me to protect us from all of the unfairness and the injustices that he knew would be coming our way. We have the solution to unfairness through faith in Jesus Christ. He came into a world that he created, and that world rejected him. And yet to those of us who believe in him, he gives us the right to become children of God. If you have not made that most important decision of your life, do it now. Say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," and you become a child of God. Because God showed us his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us, and that by believing in him, he would give us a remarkable gift.
So until next time, I close and pray to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, unto all ages, both now and forevermore. Amen.
My name is Tom Molinar, and if any of you would wish to write me or email me, you may do so at info@molinar.co.za. That is info@molinar, spelled M-O-L-I-N-A-R, .coza, or you're certainly welcome to visit our website at molinarmission.com.